Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, having a great time on this Tuesday, April the 9th, 2024, 14 minutes past the hour, and we got an email here from one of our friends, Linda, out there listening. We thoroughly enjoyed the eclipse. Sure will be once in a lifetime for us. I did read that several interstates were jammed when people were heading home, maybe not Marion, Ohio, but other places, I guess. Since this had not happened in Ohio for years, I feel the media was just trying to inform the public. Oh well, loved it, just like Ted's from our patio. And that's exactly right. If you enjoyed it, if you had fun doing something while it went on, if it slowed down life for you, there's nothing wrong with that at all. The eclipse itself was never something to critique. I don't think you would ever find a piece of tape on this station where you would say that I thought the eclipse itself was a bad idea. No, it's something unique. It's something very interesting that happens. It's the hysteria. And the fact is, just like Linda points out here in her email, that I'm sure there were some interstates jammed some places, but that's not what we kept hearing. We kept hearing Marion, Ohio. Marion, Ohio. It's trips that were going to take 1 hour were going to take 15 hours. There were signs on 23 just outside of Marion, be careful for eclipse traffic, and go to the store, and you're not going to be able to have a place to park, and let's sell plots of grass for $100. I mean, that's really what I think is overdone. I don't know. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. You know, it's an interesting morning because I came back yesterday right for the eclipse, so I'm still a little, what would you call it, jet lagged? I guess maybe jet lagged from the trip. But it's interesting. Let's put it that way. It's interesting. But yes, if you enjoyed the eclipse was great. Hope you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. But the things that went on and everything being shut down and the idea of what all this problem was supposed to be just didn't happen. And for whatever reason it didn't happen, it didn't happen. So there you go. But phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I also guess that's what I get for trying to multitask here with the internet. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, we've heard enough about the eclipse. Let's hear more about your trip and your two kids with you and staying in the apartment. Was a 21-foot story building.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to get to all that, but you know what? I just turned on the phone, and I don't hear the static.
Nope.
It's creeping.
That's why early, but I was going to put the gig in. I hope you get that in. Bye-bye.
The static was starting to come back there. My goodness. Just for a second, I thought the static had went away, and all of a sudden, the static started to drift back in. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I have no idea why there is static in the line, but that's the way it goes. I guess at this point. I don't know anymore. Anyway, let's see. What else is new? Well, the trip was new, and I guess we can talk about that. People are interested in that, and it was very, very, very interesting. Now, the first thing that happened was, you know, I flew out of here. Carrington and Matt went with me to Philadelphia for the big WrestleMania and the big Hall of Fame induction ceremony and the fun that we certainly did have there. I cannot even begin. It's kind of hard to express because it's almost like a dream, the things that happened the last few days with this whole event. It was really something else. Flew out of here on Thursday, ended up in Philadelphia on Thursday night, got to the hotel. It was a very, very nice hotel in downtown Philadelphia. I'll tell you, it was very interesting getting picked up at the airport. It was a nice chauffeur-driven car back to the airport, so I didn't have to do any, or back to the hotel, so I didn't have to do anything with that. And Friday, we had all kinds of big events. We had rehearsals after I was on the air Friday morning. We had the big show on Friday night. I cannot tell you how big of a production this thing was. Over 20,000 people at the Wells Fargo Center sold out on Friday night in Philadelphia. It was catering everywhere. We were backstage. We were all ushered in the back, and thank goodness the kids were as well, Carrington and Matt. It was just unbelievable. I cannot tell you how amazing the event was. It was like nothing I would have ever expected it to be. I had dinner on Friday night with Mrs. Muhammad Ali, Lonnie Ali, the late Muhammad Ali's wife. She was back in the catering area. I was around all of the celebrity people who were there. It was just so encouraging, so positive, so unbelievable. I mean, the experience was just amazing. And to go there in the afternoon for rehearsal and see everything that goes on behind the scenes, we had to walk through the event. Now, we didn't have to give our speeches or anything like that on Friday afternoon, but basically we had to walk through what we were going to do. Just so you could know where you needed to stand, you could know what light was the light you needed to look into, what camera was the camera you needed to look into, where the podium was going to be, all these things. It was just amazing. It really, truly was. A production like that was absolutely amazing. And the people, there were hundreds of people working in this building to pull this show off. The lighting rigs that were there, it's hard to describe how many cameras, how many producers, how many lighting experts, how many people pull this thing off. And that's why it comes off so well wherever it is. And so we went to rehearsal. We all had a great time. Rehearsal was great. The green rooms were filled with food and drink and alcoholic beverages, if that's what you wanted. If you wanted anything, they were going to get it for you. Let's put it that way. It was just once in a lifetime that way. And Friday night, the Hall of Fame ceremony came. I had my tuxedo on. We were all ready to go. Chauffeur driven. I'll tell you one of the most interesting parts of it. We all got ready for the Hall of Fame. Now, we had to be back over at the Wells Fargo Center at about 6 o'clock, I think, is when we had to be back over. So we all had to go down, and we met in what was called the Green Room. And the Green Room is kind of at the hotel where the WWE was set up. And they had all their people there, and they had all their food there, and all things of that nature. And they took you down in a freight elevator, and they would put you in chauffeur-driven chauffeur-driven cars, SUVs, I guess is what they use now. Chauffeur-driven SUVs to take you from the arena over, or from the hotel over to the arena. And so that was fun going over. So we're going over to the arena on Friday night, and the traffic, you can just see the people lined up outside the Wells Fargo Center that our SUV got caught in traffic, and we had to wait out there forever and ever and ever to come in the backstage at the Wells Fargo Center. And it was just such a happy atmosphere. Had dinner down in the commissary, like I said, with Mrs. Muhammad Ali. That was so much fun. Carrington and Matt were all dressed up. That was great to see that whole thing going on. People were practicing their speeches back in corners, and do we need to put this on the teleprompter, and so on and so forth. And by the way, if you watched it on Peacock, I didn't have a note in front of me. I did wing it. As much as possible, so I hope it came off good for anybody who did see it. The feedback seemed very, very good, but it was unbelievable to be a part of something like that. It just could not have been any better. And there was a moment. They have a place in the back called the gorilla position, and there are even pictures of gorillas back there. And what the gorilla position is, that's right before you go out on stage. That's right before you go through the curtain where everybody is. So you're back there in what's called the gorilla position, and you know on the other side of that curtain is the arena. So I'm back there at the gorilla position with Thunderbolt, and we're just about to go out. We're waiting for the gentleman in the ring to announce Thunderbolt. And all of a sudden, it's here we go, and here's Thunderbolt with his friend Scott Spears, and we walk through that curtain, and you walk through this black curtain, and you walk into this arena, and there's 21,000 people there. Because when we were there for rehearsal, it's an empty building. You know, it's a beautiful building, beautifully decorated with lights and everything, but the building's empty in the afternoon for rehearsal. When you walk through that curtain, everybody's there. And it's the first time you see it with everybody there walking in the arena. We had watched it on monitors. We could see television, what it looked like on television. But to walk through those curtains, there's 21,000 people everywhere. And Thunderbolt's there, and Thunderbolt had an embrace with one of his old wrestling buddies right there in the aisle, and that was very touching. And then we all go up in the ring, and which is where they had the podiums, which is where the induction was done, and it was so super fascinating. Right before I went out, somebody said in my ear, they said, now they're going to cue you, they're going to cue you out there, because I was the first speaker after the video package was done. So I walk up into the ring, and I'm in there, and I'm thinking, well, where's the cue going to come from? We have not rehearsed this part of it. I don't know where the cue is going to come from. And I can hear the video playing in the arena, but I can't see the video because it's directly over my head. So I can't watch the video to see when it's going to end because it's over my head. So all of a sudden, there's a guy who comes up from under the ring, and he points to his eyes, and he points to me, and he points to his eyes, and he points to me to let me know that I think he's going to be giving my cue. I assume that's what he was telling me, and in the end, that's what it was. So when the video finally finished up, all of a sudden, the guy jumped back up. He swung his finger at me, and I was on. And I'll tell you, to not have a speech in front of me, to be out there in front of 21,000 people was great. It was exhilarating. It was fun. And I love talking to those people. And there were points in the speech, I think there were two different points, where I was saying something and I didn't expect anybody to clap. I didn't know, would they cheer, would they boo, who knows. They would clap. They were clapping. And so I would stop and let them clap and then go back to the speech. And then at one point, they started chanting Thunderbolt. And I thought, hey, this must be going pretty well. And then I got to introduce him, and Thunderbolt came over and gave his speech. And it got a great reaction from the crowd. They applauded him. It was just fantastic. But you really don't know how you did. So I came off the stage, and as we're going back through the gorilla position to go back to the dressing rooms, the head man, who we didn't see a whole lot of, his name is Bruce, we were going back through the area. Now, he's still on a headset because the show's still going on. And as we're going through, he took off his headset, he stood up, he shook my hand, and he said, fantastic job. And he said, have you ever met our head writer? And he's introducing me to people while the show is still going on. It was just Amazing. And then we go back, and the limousines come and pick us back up, and they take us back to the airport. And the Hall of Fame was something. And there's so much more to this weekend to talk about. But does anybody have anything they'd like to talk about in regard to the Hall of Fame and the speech and being on the Peacock Network? And I'll also tell you, when I got back to the arena, or back to the hotel, excuse me, back to the hotel that night, I had message after message after message. I had friend requests. I had people sending me pictures of me on television, still shots of it. It was unbelievable. And so many people back here in Marion were watching it and sending me those things. But there were people from all over. And congratulations. And the speech was great. And everything was fun. And, you know, it was very nice. I did not hear a negative thing from anybody. I'll tell you that. I did not hear a negative thing from anybody. But I will tell you what I did hear was somebody said it is so interesting that somebody from Marion was right there on their television screen in front of all those people, and it's somebody you can see in the grocery store, it's somebody you can see at the school, and it was interesting for them to think that that could happen to somebody from this particular area. And you know what? It can happen. If you work hard enough, and you push, and you have persistence, things like that can happen. I will never forget that moment. And I am sure more now than when I left. I said this many times before I left. If you have an absolutely normal life, there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with having a family and kids and a husband and a wife and working a job that you may like. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you look forward to vacations. Whatever it is. That's all fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But to have a life to do things where people just don't get those opportunities. There's only been 31 Hall of Fames and 5 inductors a year. I am the luckiest person on the face of the earth. I really am. I feel like Lou Gehrig. I am the luckiest person on the face of the earth to have participated and been in something like that, and to have the positive feedback that I had from that event. It was just the nicest thing you could ask for, and more fun than you should be allowed to have. And the kids, oh, God bless Matt and Carrington. Carrington was decked up. She had a gown on, sparkles and sequins. And Matt was dressed up, you know, he had the khaki pants on and the button-up shirt. And I'm in my tuxedo, and we're just roaming around that building and going in every crevice possible. It was just fun. And Matt and Carrington, right before I went out to give my speech, were allowed to sit inside the ringside area with all the other celebrity people who were there. So they had great seats, and it was a great opportunity from them. And I kept, they kept hearing from their parents, "Hey, we keep seeing you on television as the camera's panning around." I don't have words to express how much fun Friday night was. It was just a magical night. I don't know how you could relive it. It was just great. Now, before I go on and talk about anything else that happened on the trip, give me a buzz here if you have any questions. Or did anybody see the Hall of Fame on Friday night? It was on the Peacock Network. You can still watch it on the Peacock Network if you want to, by the way. Just go to Peacock and search 2024 WWE Hall of Fame, and we're in there somewhere. We're in there in the lineup. We're one of the five. And I'll tell you something else. The hospitality from the people, the WWE, unmatched. They were the nicest people, did anything you asked them to do, got you any, that's what they kept saying, can we get you anything, do you need anything, just the greatest people. And what a production they put on. What a production. It was bigger than Cooperstown. It was bigger than Canton. They don't draw those kind of crowds at those places. The Hall of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, they just don't draw crowds like that. And I should mention this. Carrington, we were down having dinner in the commissary, back with all the important people, before the show, and Mrs. Muhammad Ali was back there. And Carrington said, well, I'd really like to interview Mrs. Muhammad Ali, and I said, well, just ask her. And Carrington took the initiative, went over, asked her, got the interview, had no notes, did the interview on the spot, which I'm sure you will hear on this station at some point, and we all got a picture. Mrs. Ali was wonderful and told great stories about Muhammad Ali. I was so proud of her, and, you know, having that experience with them was terrific, because I could just tell how much they enjoyed it and how much joy their parents got out of it. Top-notch, first class, all the way. So, you know, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this, but I guess dreams do come true, because mine certainly did. Because I think the only thing that I had never done that I wanted to do in my career was do something on a national basis. And Friday night, that happened. So I really don't know what's left to do at this point. I'm sure there's something to do, but I don't know. I don't know what it would be at this point. Okay, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the big Hall of Fame ceremony on Friday night? And everybody should have the chance to be a part of something like that in their life. To do something that you want to do that is... And you know what? I say this goes back to childhood. I am not a huge wrestling fan now. I've told people that. I don't watch it. I didn't know a lot of the current people, but holy mackerel, it was just fun. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'll speak on this part of this session that you were more inspired than anyone, and I probably think more than Thunderbolt. Now, that's the question I'm going to ask you. But I think that was your incentive that really sparked you, and I'm so glad that it happened to you like that, and you got that opportunity. But that isn't going to be the end of it. You keep up, and a lot of people think they can do what you do and stuff, but put you to the test. It's a very hard thing, and you've got years' experience on it, but still a very young man. And so I wish you luck in all your future like that. But one thing about it, you can refer back. This would have never transpired if it wasn't for Thunderbolt and you getting acquainted way early before you ever knew this was going to transpire.
Yeah, well, that's the absolute truth is that it was due to Thunderbolt picking me to do this. And I say, you know, this is what I was saying last week at one point, that you have to make choices in your life. And I'm not saying there are good and bad people in your life, but the people in your life and the connections you make in your life really do matter. And going one way is going one way, and going another way is going another, but I do firmly believe that if there was a different group of people in my life, if I had went in a different direction, this would not have happened. And I also think the same thing about Carrington and Matt. Every picture that was taken, every audio that was taken, the fact that they were the age they are, and she got in her sequin gown, and Matt got dressed up probably for the first time in his life, and they were able to partake in that, that would not have happened if certain changes had not happened along the way for me. So you got to have the right people.
Well, I'm glad you did, Scott, and continue on and let us hear more.
Hey, thank you. And that's exactly, you know, it is nothing but the truth to say that the right people have to be in your life. And boy, do I'm lucky enough to have the right people in my life. And by the way, all those people were there yesterday. Carrington and Matt, who were as zonked out as I was after getting up at 5 a.m. yesterday morning to be back here for the Eclipse event, were all there. They all showed. They're there for you. They really are. All right, does anybody have any questions? 38 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone sounded a little better that time. I don't want to jinx it. Maybe the hiccup, the frog, is getting out of the line here this morning. I certainly hope it is. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Got to remember where I am. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. But, and it's so weird. I don't know how many people will experience this in their life being on national television, but I'm up there doing it. So to me, it's like giving a speech. It's like giving a normal speech. But you don't realize that people are watching it at home. You don't realize that people are watching it back here in Marion, Ohio. You don't realize that that's happening. So I'm getting these screenshots of televisions as I'm there, which is amazing. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you know, one thing I forgot, that transition you had from up there in Philadelphia coming back to Marion that Sean Kraft and Pastor Craig put on, that was excellent. I heard everything about it. But, the transmission from you to here, it was great. So,
oh, I'm glad that you could hear us from Philadelphia, okay.
Oh, my goodness, Scott. It was, it's better than the squeak in the phone this morning, but maybe we've burnt the moisture out of the lines. I imagine that Pastor Craig was the last one in there on a Friday because you didn't have a Friday night show and all the weekend. Maybe they just got full of moisture and stuff, and we burn them out. How's that sound?
I think we burnt the lines up this morning, and we've cleared out all the static.
And you know what? Everything that segment of the show, and then he had Pastor Craig had a trivia thing, but he said he'd get back with that later on, and the second segment, I didn't hear anything much about it, you know, that... there's a lot of details on the part that we heard remote, and probably you've listened to the remote, haven't you, since you get back?
I did hear a little bit of it, yeah.
Well, you listen to it carefully and see if you can pick up on anything there that had to get kind of back into the do's and don'ts and things you did and didn't and the places you went and could have went to. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks. All right, well, see, it came back, the static came back a little bit there, but maybe it's getting better by the moment. It must be on their end this morning. What can you do? Technology. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But it is so strange to be on that tube, and moments later, you get in the car to go back to the hotel. You get back in the SUV, and all of a sudden, here is pictures of you on television that people are showing. Go ahead, caller.
Scott.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
Yes, who's this?
It's William Minifan, friend, my friend.
Oh!
Boston.
Boston! It's the Boston Pinheads again.
Yes. Well, we're still here, Scott. We kept you on the wrong number for the past, 6 months.
Well, I'm so glad I had a feeling that I might hear from the Boston Pinheads again.
Well, you gotta update that website. I know you are a man of many hats over at that station, but the website still has the old phone number.
Well, we'll try to work that out. But you know what? I'm Pinhead, as I say, is a term of endearment.
I know, and we love you too. So,
no, hold on, wait a second, but now let me get, Broadcasting 101, I like to do that every so often. This is the group that called in after the Bill Cosby interview a few years ago, and we had a little contretemps, but we ended up becoming friends. Kurt Minahan, right? Kurt Minahan Show?
Yes, sir. Kurt Minahan Show, which has just grown exponentially since.
I'm glad to hear. So now that we've updated the audience who may not have been aware of all this, go ahead.
Yeah, most of your audience hates us, but we love you, Scott.
They love you. They love you.
You missed out on another live show just recently in Portland, Maine. at the end of last month. It would have been spectacular if we could make it, but... So, you were on WWE induction, is that correct?
Yeah, I was part of the Hall of Fame induction ceremony the other night, yes.
I've heard you talk about it, it is outstanding, and from another non-wrestling fan, I will tell you I'm going to watch it just to see your speech, but that gorilla position, if I'm not mistaken, that was originally a tag team wrestling move by Coleman and Dickens. I forget what their team name was. I don't know if they were like the Bull Roarers or something, but that's where that was developed.
You know, that's a funny joke, but just
look up the history.
Here is the history of it, by the way, because I do want to come in with the actual name, because people probably are wondering why it's called the gorilla position. The reason it's called the gorilla, but the good joke, you got it in there, the gorilla position is actually called that because the late, great Gorilla Monsoon, who was a wrestler, broadcaster, and actually owned part of the company at one point, that's where he would sit and send people out to the ring when it was their time to go out. So he's been dead now, I think, probably more than, I think he died in 99, but they still call it the gorilla position because of Gorilla Monsoon.
May I ask you a Ohio-centric question that has to do with baseball?
Go ahead.
The top 10 home run hit, this is not a joke, the top 10 home run hitters of all time.
In my opinion?
No. The actual top 10, you know, the guys in the first 10 spots for number of home runs.
Oh, you're asking me a trivia question.
Yes, number eight is a native son. Can you name who that home run hitter is?
Of Ohio?
Yes, sir.
You know
native
what?
Native son, and that he played there for a very long time.
I don't know.
Scott, are you kidding me?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it?
There's only, how many teams in Ohio? Two? Cincy and
two.
Cleveland?
Yep, Reds and the Guardians.
The Indians. So I'll give you a hint.
Well, you guys even in Boston have a hard time letting that go.
That was the name of the team that he was on, the Indians.
Right, but you know they're the Guardians now. But go ahead.
But they are. They're the Guardians now. But they were the Indians then. So he's on the Indians.
Yes.
A prolific hitter. I mean, even I like this guy.
Oh,
you can't get some of this. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Maybe mid 2000s,
excuse me.
And he's number eight, is what you're saying, on the home run hitters of all time.
Yes, sir.
You have me on this one. I wouldn't win a prize.
How long do you think it would take you to guess this person's name?
I don't know. It could take a while at this particular point.
Did it take you roughly 36 to 40 hours? Like it took someone on the Kirk Minahan show who had to guess it and couldn't leave the studio until he did?
I don't know. Do I win a prize here? Is there some kind of incentive in this?
All right, I'm going to give you the name and you tell me if you recognize it.
Okay.
Jim? What's his last name?
Jim who?
Tomy.
Oh, Tomy, yes. We're having a little static in the line this morning.
Yeah, what's going on with the... I'm very disappointed. The static on the line, the number not being updated.
You'll have to call the phone company. The static's not my problem. You're going to have to call the phone company on that one.
Well, that's the second call that is static.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
So I think it's on your end, but I know you're a very busy man, so...
You seem very competitive this morning. Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
I don't mean to be.
Right.
Sorry it's coming across that way, but the call quality is terrible, but the point of the caller is just not right.
Okay. Well, now, you've tried to call in. Now, you picked this morning because you wanted to ask me about the home run hitters.
Well, no, I actually wanted to ask you about WWE. So.
Oh, well, roll right in. You just go right ahead.
Well, it seemed like you wanted to call it, so I think you're being competitive now. I, like you...
No, I'm open. Please, go ahead.
I think we're around the same age. I, like you, are not a big WWE fan at all.
No, that's not exactly fair to say. I don't watch it now, and I haven't watched it for quite a while, but much like most people, when I was a child, I did watch it.
Would you say, hey, okay, who was your favorite? Because even though I didn't watch it, I had a lot of friends who would, it was appointment watching, right, on Saturday mornings. Who was your favorite back then?
Well, favorite, you know, I liked guys like Bobby Heenan and, of course, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. That was my era.
So I'm Andre the Giant. Tugboat, I think it was Tugboat Calhoun.
I think there was a tugboat, yes, if I remember
now,
right.
Do you remember the name Diamond Dallas Page?
You know, I do, but that would have been after I was watching.
Same here. So I just remember the name. He apparently now, this word comes full circle, Scott. Apparently now is big into yoga strength training and has a whole program around that.
Oh.
Do you remember Butterbean the boxer?
Yes, I do remember Butterbean.
So apparently Butterbean couldn't even walk anymore without the aid of crutches. He went through Diamond Dallas Page yoga. Again, a wrestling fan of mine told me about this because I'm getting into yoga. And Butterbean went through the program, lost a ton of weight, and literally is not just back to being able to walk without crutches. He's saying that he's going to get back in the ring.
Well, isn't that exciting?
You don't sound very excited.
Well, I'm sure, you know, I'll buy a ticket for that.
I thought you would find that interesting.
Well, no, I'm confused on the, see, because now here's something interesting.
Well, that's why you know, people like the storyline, they like the pageantry, and people will say it's not real, but it is very athletic.
No, here's interesting, and like I said, God knows I love you, Boston Pinheads, but here's the interesting thing. Now, this, our relationship started back with the Bill Cosby interview, and essentially, it all started because you felt that I did not ask hard enough questions of Bill Cosby. Yeah, and now you're asking me if I'm excited if Butterbean is going to be back in the ring, and I think, boy, that's hard-hitting journalism if I've ever heard it.
WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
No, we're not talking Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We're talking about Butterbean getting back in the ring.
No, you are. And you even said the head scriptwriter. Remember back in the day, were you convinced it was real?
Was I convinced that wrestling was real?
Yes.
No, I think by that time they'd already said it was predetermined.
Now, Scott, I think you're being disingenuous, maybe even dishonest.
Oh, now here comes the hard hitting. Go ahead.
If you were a fan back in the time of Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Superfly, Snuka et al., you definitely thought it was real because that's when they were still claiming it was 100% real.
You know, I honestly don't ever remember thinking that it was real, but you know, if you say so, you probably know what I knew.
You probably know
what I knew better than me.
Oh, come on, Scott. If you're a real fan, you know you felt that it was real. Come on.
Would it make you feel better if I said I thought it was real?
Well, I think you're trying to say that you were smarter than at the time. You're
no, I don't.
Of course you thought it was real. There's no way you didn't think it was real.
I don't think it's part. And now, by the way, what part do you play on the Kirk Minahan show?
None. I'm just a fan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you send these clips? Do you send these clips over to the show?
Unless it's, you know, something really good.
No. Well, trust me, we ain't got that material today. So I hope this doesn't end up anywhere, because this certainly ain't grade A material.
Well, thanks for having me on, regardless of, you know, I like the hate that you're bringing, and just know that we still love you.
Are we done already?
I have to really come here. Yeah, I have to get on a call for work, but I enjoy the show, Scott. I still listen.
Well, I'm glad. And what was your name again?
Tim.
All right. Thanks, Tim. All right. There's one of our Boston Pinheads with a fascinating deep dive into the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't think there was a question there at all about the Hall of Fame, but you know what? Don't let that steal their thunder. In any way, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 53 minutes past the hour here. WGH Talk Time. We would enjoy hearing from you. Now, usually in the old days, when we would get a call from a Bostonite, Boston Pinheads, as I call them, others would show up. Now, who knows? That was one. You know, we have about 7 minutes left in the program today. Will anything else show up? we'll find out. We'll see what goes on. But the WWE was great. I'll get into more of what the weekend was as time goes on. But it was a fascinating experience and a real pleasure to work with very professional people. And that is a professional operation, to be sure. And I do hope that people go and check it out on the Peacock, because it certainly, I think, is worth something, worth seeing. Because Thunderbolt gave a great speech, and I was lucky enough to be there to induct him. All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Coming up on 54 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Just about 6 minutes left in the program. You know, I'm sad now, because every time in the past that somebody from Boston would call in, and we would have these little fascinating conversations, there was usually somebody else who would call in, and then we would hear more. Maybe the WWE Hall of Fame didn't do it for them in Boston. But I would have guessed that Boston was a big wrestling town. I bet it is. I'll tell you something. Philadelphia is a big wrestling town. 21,000 people on Saturday night. Over 70 people showed up. 70,000 people on Saturday night. Over 70,000 people on Sunday night. Over 145,000 people between Saturday and Sunday. And couple that with the over 20,000 people on Friday night. That brought in over 165,000 people to that city in the course of 3 days. And everybody in the town was WWE. You could not walk around the streets of the city without seeing WWE shirts, WWE belts, WWE merchandise. Everybody had everything. It was just absolutely fascinating. And again, I want to thank the people who allowed that to happen, all the people with the WWE who were just completely unbelievable. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, it's Ryan. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Hey, I got a quick minute here. First, it was glad to hear the Pinheads are back.
Oh, they're a class act, aren't they?
Yeah, I still listen every day. I just don't get a chance to call in much. Yeah, I watched that live Friday on Peacock, and I was impressed. You did a good job.
Well, thank you. You never know how a speech is going to come off, and like I say, I didn't carry any notes up there, and I didn't use a teleprompter, so I wondered how it came off.
Yeah, I was watching it Friday night. I think it was around 11. It was after 11 before you came out, but I was impressed, because you probably talked for 2 or 3 minutes, it seemed like, without no stuttering or anything.
You know, when I got up there, because people backstage, the WWE people, they weren't trying to be mean, but they said, are you nervous? How do you feel about this? Because they knew I didn't have any notes, and they knew I wasn't on teleprompter. And I said, no, I really feel fine. I don't know why, but I feel just fine. And once we went through that curtain and I saw the 21,000 people, I just was so excited. It was such an exciting, exhilarating moment. By the time I got up in the ring and the podium, I mean, I just felt at home. I really did.
Yeah, it just seemed like it just rolled right off the tongue. Like, and it probably made it easier with Thunderbolt. Like, everybody, you know, coming down the aisle was stopping and shaking his hand, and you know, made it more welcoming and kind of took the 21,000 eyes off of you.
Well, it did, and you know what? He was very emotional, and when he stood up and hugged Jerry Briscoe, his old compadre there, you know, that was very nice to see. It just was a magical moment.
Yeah, it was. It was very neat. I ended up watching pretty much the whole thing. I fell asleep towards the end, but I can always go back and watch it on the Peacock. It stays there for a little while, so...
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll tell you something interesting that most people don't realize. When you're doing that, you're looking mostly at the camera, because in rehearsal, they're telling you where the right lighting is, where the camera is. So really, I could see the people in the arena, because obviously, I got a little applause breaks there a few times while I was giving my speech. So I would look around at the arena at that point. But really, you're looking more toward the people who are putting that up on the network.
Yeah, I would have been nervous. When it first started, I said, oh, man, I hope he does a good job. Even when I see you come out the doors or that curtain that you were talking about, I thought, oh, man, I'd be so nervous.
No, it was so exciting, and there's an energy, and that's why I think I can't remember exactly, but I think one of the first things I said is, boy, there's been a lot of passion and exhilaration in this room tonight, and that's just what I felt when I walked out there, that everybody had been that way.
Yeah, and the three guys that was talking about Thunderbolt, you know, before you guys came out, you know, they had the crowd hyped up, and it went pretty good. I got to get back to work, but yeah, it was a good job, Scott.
Hey, good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Yep, take care.
And I certainly thank him for watching, and I appreciate the nice words, and I will talk more in the next few days about the rest of the trip, because we did go to New York on Saturday, Manhattan. We did go to WrestleMania on Sunday, and that was a tremendous thing that, I can't even begin to tell you about that. But the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It was just the best. And there's nothing about it that could come off negative. And by the way, again, I do want to thank the WWE people. They could not have been nicer. They could not have been more encouraging. They just wanted you to do good, but even after it was over, they were the first ones to stand up and shake your hand and say, great speech. I'm going back to the gorilla position and going back backstage, everybody just was standing and shaking your hand and patting you on the back and saying, great speech, you nailed it. To be in an environment like that is great, and what a great morning this has been. The Boston Pinheads have been back. I guess we're thankful for that. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs.